Joined now here in the studio by County Commissioner Penny Rich. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thank you, Aaron.
And it is budget season, as you know.
Yes, I do.
Only too well. County Commissioners meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Southern Human Services Center to keep the budget conversation going. And thank you for joining us today to talk about it, because it's a lot of different conversations that are sort of rolled up together into one. Of course, what you do at the county level is influenced by what's done at the state level, and that's still an ongoing thing. But sort of the big issue here in Orange County, at least the one that's gotten the most most discussion going, has been funding of the schools. Chapel Hill Carver City Schools and Orange County Schools both had multi-million dollar shortfalls before the state budget, and now, depending on those conversations, it looks like that shortfall might be even greater, and that puts more of a burden on us here at the county level. So we've talked to a lot of school people, folks from Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, about their push to get county commissioners to fully fund the schools. Where are the county commissioners on this? What is the tenor of the conversation among you in terms of what you're hoping to do and what is actually possible?
Right. Well, thanks for the question, Aaron. It is a very emotional issue. Mm-hmm. As you know, we are all pretty attached to making sure that our school system remains one of the best in the state. I am a parent. I have one son that graduated from the Chapel Hill school system, and I have one son that is a rising senior. And so I am one of those parents. I am concerned, and I want to make sure that the funding is there for the schools as well. The discussion it's an interesting discussion, because we don't know where the state budget's going to fall. We're hearing that the House budget might be something different. But we do know that this is sort of a complicated issue that we're going to have to tackle now and in the future, because it's not just this year that we're going to be dealing with this. This is going to be something that I think is going to happen year after year for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So our discussions are continuing. We are trying to move money around, find money, and talking about taxing options. And I know no one really wants to hear about that, but in all fairness, we have not raised taxes for quite some time. And in order to keep our services at its peak, we do need to think about perhaps taxation. Like I said, we haven't had the full conversation yet. We are going to try and do our best to get as close to what the both school systems need. And that discussion will continue, like you said, Thursday night, mm-hmm. and well into the 17th until we vote the budget in.
So we're looking at, and correct me if I'm wrong on the numbers, because there's a lot of numbers
that play
here.
There are a lot of numbers, yeah.
The current proposal on the table right now is for an increase in funding for both school districts combined of $2.9 million,
right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The total shortfall is more like $6 or $7 million, depending on how the numbers are tallied up. So obviously that's a huge difference. Is
right.
there any chance at all that when all is said and done, the schools will be fully funded to that $6-7 million capacity?
Well, I think we're going to try and get as close as we can. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that – I'm not going to use the word fully fund, because mm-hmm. We're not all clear what fully fund
yeah.
means. The Chapel Hill Carver school system was nice enough to break down what happens if this gets funded and that gets funded, what gets lost, what doesn't get lost.
Mm-hmm.
As you recall, there was a question about what the priorities are for the school system, and it would just help the commissioners understand a little better about what you lose if we don't give you money. We just got that letter from the Carver school systems this afternoon, so I haven't had a chance to really examine it yet, mm-hmm. but I will, and it will be it'll help me think through what we are going to do. Now, you know, a lot of parents are saying, well, think creatively. I do have to say, budget season, we are always thinking creatively.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a minute that goes by where we're not thinking about how to move money around or what to put off, what things that have – that need funding, that haven't had funding in the past couple of years. Can we get away with it another year?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always this movement of cash flow around that allows us to keep a good fund balance. You know, we got our AAA rating back, which is just awesome.
Really good, yeah.
And there's some money in there that we'll be able to perhaps use, you know, at the
end
of the day.
But you want to keep a fund balance. You know,
absolutely.
You don't want to exhaust it, right?
Yeah, we don't. But we're doing well. We have more than we need in there right now. So there's movement there. We know that we can spend a little on that. But, you know, not to say that schools are not the most important, but we have a lot of issues in the county that are so important to poverty, affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We have 17% poverty in Orange County. And it's hard because sometimes when we're here in Chapel Hill, we lose sight of that. We sometimes are in our little bubble,
yeah,
and things look pretty good down here, and you don't really recognize the poverty, but it exists.
Yeah, and even in, you know, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, which we think of as, and by many standards are the most affluent towns in North Carolina, there's a significant pocket of poverty even here, and a lot of people, I think, dismiss that by saying, oh, the numbers are skewed because it's students, but we have the numbers now. It's not just students.
It is not just students.
It's a significant problem.
That's correct, yeah.
So that brings us back to the property tax question and the tax question. We've heard, obviously, from a lot of people who are directly connected to the school districts, whether it's teachers or administrators or parents of students, who say, yes, I will pay more property taxes if it means more funding from the schools. How about people who aren't directly connected to the school districts? I'm thinking about seniors, working class people without kids, or working class people in general who might struggle with property taxes. If you know, a lot of people come out to the board meetings who are directly connected to the schools. Are you hearing from the other people in Orange County who aren't?
You know, Aaron, unfortunately, we're not. Mm-hmm. We've out of the hundreds of emails that we've received, and I'm saying we because it comes to board and manager, it comes as one email address. We've only received one that it asked us not to raise taxes, that they just absolutely couldn't afford it. I mean, it's unfortunate because I think it's not a popular stance to take. It's not popular. It's not a popular view. And I think that folks that can't afford it or folks that are not directly responsible for the schools might feel intimidated by the groups of parents that are there. Mm. So they don't come to the meeting. And we don't get to hear from them. We know they exist. We know that there are seniors that are on fixed incomes. We know that there are students that are on fixed incomes. Mm-hmm. We know there are young couples that are on fixed incomes. And it's hard because we do have to balance things out. We can't make it so expensive that you can't live here. Diversity makes a town. And if we don't have diversity, we're just one people that are, you know, willing to say, yes, raise my taxes. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard balance.
And you mentioned affordable housing already, and you know we've talked about affordable housing on WCHL numerous times as an issue that isn't just about creating housing where the rent is cheap per month or the mortgage is cheap per month. It's also about property taxes and the cost of living and the cost of transportation and having a living wage and all of these different things. How much does that enter into your thinking as a commissioner? Are we trying to make these decisions?
Yeah, and it does. That's, again, really good questions. I mean, something that I was looking into and looking at how different towns handle best practices with teachers. I mean, I would love to be able to have our teachers stay in Chapel Hill and live here. So maybe there's some way to have additional subsidies for teachers to live here. That would help them with housing. So yes, we want to give them a raise, but we also want to make sure they can stay here and live here and pay the taxes. Because, yeah, they'll say, yeah, raise my taxes. So then they're paying for their own raise.
It doesn't
come out as well as you would think so. There are ways of trying to help. I think transportation is a really good issue. If we can have public transportation where people can eliminate getting in those cars every day, would be wonderful. And I know we're looking into that too. And that's part of a larger discussion, of course, with CTA and Chapel Hill Transit and Orange Public Transit. But all these things, it all adds up. And you know, right now we're spending between about $600,000 and $700,000 on the affordable housing in general. It would be really nice to get that budget up to about $1 million to really make an impact. I know Chapel Hill is raising the penny to get about $600,000 additional for affordable housing. It'd be really nice for us to all work together on affordable housing as well instead of working in silos, because each of us come up with these different ideas. But if we can combine them and put those ideas together, I think that we would be all benefit from it.
How important, and we're talking with Penny Rich, by the way, Board of County Commissioners. This is sort of a segue into another topic, but also very much related to this. How important is Steve Brantley in all of this? How important is economic development in all of this is the larger question.
You know, that's a great question. As you know, we broke ground for Moranaga.
I love bringing you on the air because every time I ask a question, it's like, that's a great
question. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. Yeah. I mean, you know, we broke ground in Moranaga this week.
Right, right. It was such a cool, exciting thing.
It was
cool.
It was...
How many high chews have you eaten in the last 6 months?
Oh, geez. I heard a smirk from over in the corner there. Yeah. My son is in the studio with us, so I just got a smile out of him. We've had a lot. From the time that they were introduced to us about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. is how long we had been working on this plan, we've probably gone through a couple of hundred pounds or so. We would put them out at county commissioner meetings, and we would say, I'll just have one.
Yeah, and then they're gone.
They're gone. You know, we pass the bowl.
Yeah.
They're absolutely delicious.
But that's a really good thing for the county, though.
Moranaga is really good because, I mean, you got to remember, they're going to start by investing about $45 million and bring 90 jobs to the county. Mm. They're already inquiring about additional land for possibly $20 million, $25 million more investment. They are renting space from the county. Their offices are here already. Mm. So, you know, you asked about Steve Brantley. How important is that to our county?
And he's the economic development director.
Yes, I'm sorry.
We should mention that.
Well, you know why it's important, though? Because if you want to bounce back to schools, we need the economic development so we don't have to continue to raise taxes. Mm. And so the larger corporations that Steve works on to get here – is vital to our existence at this point because we haven't done it for so long. So the board before me, really smart by extending water and sewer and other extending any other utilities, planning roads, really important because without that, you can't lure companies in. And so that's really important. But I also want to say, Aaron, what's really important to our community is our mom and pop shops, mm-hmm. people that have been in business forever. And I think we've got to do a little bit of a better job giving them assistance and helping them as well.
Yeah.
They need to exist.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, because we talk about economic development so often as bringing new things in, but it's also about keeping things here that have been here for
Correct.
A long time.
Yeah.
And sort of the same thing, sort of getting back to schools with retaining not just businesses but teachers. That's a segue. But also a serious question. And you mentioned teacher salaries, and this is something that's being talked about at the local level and the state level. And sort of both sides of the debate, opponents of increasing funding and proponents, sort of say the same thing about teacher salaries for their own ends, of course, which is, well, you know, you can increase teacher salaries or not. That's not the be-all, end-all for what it is that keeps teachers active and engaged and loving what they do.
Right.
And this is what we're seeing now with the proposal that came out of the Senate. Well, we'll increase teacher funding or increase teacher salaries by 11%, but you have to give up tenure and teaching
right.
assistants. Well, that isn't flying either. So as a county commissioner and as a parent, someone who is very much engaged in the schools, what's your highest priority in terms of making the schools a place where not just a quality education is provided, but people like teachers and administrators and staffers are engaged and happy and morale is high and they've got the facilities or the what's the word I'm looking for, the resources that they need to do their jobs.
Right. And that's the problem. That if we just think about raising salaries, if teachers don't have the resources, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day,
yeah.
we're not really helping them.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to go back to something before you said living wage. And I want to let you know that the county, our living wage is over $11 an mm-hmm. hour, which is really important. I would love it to be closer to 13, but I think we'll get there and eventually get to 15. When we think about our teachers and the amount of hours that they're working, they're getting below minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
It's appalling.
Yeah.
It's appalling. And this has been a trend for a really long time. I'm not just saying this has happened in the past year or so. This has been a trend.
Yeah.
And you can tell. That's why we raced to the bottom to get for our teachers' lowest pay. We're like 46 or, I mean, something ridiculous.
Yep.
You know, our teachers must really, really love their jobs. to have stayed here so long.
Mm-hmm.
I know just dealing with some of the teachers that my kids have had along the way, they're just wonderful people. They, you know, quite a few of them became my friends. We go and have a glass of wine every once in a while, and we talk. And, you know, it's really hard for teachers when they're, you know, a couple of weeks into the school year and they don't have any more paper. They don't have any more tissues. And they don't have any.
They've got to pay for it out of their own pocket. They've got to work second jobs. I talked with one who worked third job.
Right. Yeah. I met a teacher over at Staples. That's his second job.
Yeah.
He was working at Staples for a number of reasons. He was working there, yes, because his second job, because he got a discount also.
Yeah.
So he could buy.
And this is not endemic to North Carolina either. I grew up in Michigan. I had teachers who worked second jobs there. I mean, it's appalling, and it's nationwide.
And I just don't understand that. I mean, if we think about who our heroes are and how much millions of dollars we pay them, our teachers are our heroes. Our teachers are the first people that educate our children, yet we don't have enough respect for them to pay them for what they're doing. Now, you know, on the other hand, if there are teachers that are not performing and they're not helping our children, then that issue has to be discussed also. You know, they just can't stay there because they're a teacher.
Right, right.
You know, so, I mean, we need to make sure that our children are getting the best of the best. I think we have some of the best here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County. I mean, some of the folks out there, you know, we often forget to talk about the two systems, but, you know, we have schools in Orange County. There's one in particular that have like 85% of the kids are on free and reduced lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Those teachers are actually buying food for their students. You know, they know on the weekends these kids aren't eating. They're buying food for them. It's just, it's appalling that we are living in these days and not recognizing how important teachers are to our children.
Well, Penny Rich, I could talk with you forever. We've got to end. But meeting, the board meeting is Thursday, 7 p.m. Southern Human Services Center. When all is said and done, and I know there's a lot to say between now and when the board finally signs off on a budget. But what are you thinking? What are you expecting the final outcome to be?
Well, so our budget's around $197 million. We know that we're about 49.1% to both school systems right now. We probably need to forget that number this year, that percentage. You know, we always try for that 48%, and we've done a pretty good job of funding that 48%.
And that's just a guideline, really.
That is a guideline. That, yeah, nothing set in stone. But we're going to have to try and recognize this year and just get a fix in for this year. I think at the end of the day, though, Aaron, we're going to have to sit down and we're really going to have that hard conversation on what we're going to do. What long-term plans do we have? Because like I said the other night, we just can't keep putting a Band-Aid on this and have a year-to-year fix. This is long-term strategy. If we want to retain teachers, if we want parents to stay here, and if we want to keep our school systems the best we possibly can, we have to have some long-term solutions. And taxation is in one of those solutions.
All right, Penny Rich, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Again, as I've said to other county commissioners, I think I said it to James Barrett last week with the school board, I envy you not at all for budget season. So best of luck.
Thank you.